is go.
Thank you, this is go.
PTC is go.
Copy, this is go.
Houston flight is go.
Pilot go.
STM is go.
Safety cons is go.
STE is go.
LRD is go.
SRO is go.
CDR is go.
Launch director, NTD, our launch team is ready to proceed at this time.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Site Patriots has a message for liberals and the mainstream media.
You can't handle the truth.
So buckle up, snowflakes, because we're about to deliver the politically direct best in conservative commentary, news, and investigative reports. We're telling the truth, and we're not gonna stop. Okay, liberals, back under the bridge with the rest of your fellow trolls, and oh yeah, thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots.
They are special, special people
on RSPRadio1.com. Welcome to Right Side Patriots on RSPRadio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot, and Diane Sorey at the Patriot Factor, Tuesday night edition of the show, 11th of May. Hello, Diane.
Hello, Craig, and how is everything in Nebraska?
You know, it's been an absolutely beautiful day. Sun shining, about 65 degrees, perfect.
Oh, that's nice weather.
Yeah, we'll take that.
Okay, don't you have like two more weeks where you can still get ice storms or something?
Yeah, up here in north central Nebraska, it seems weird because, you know, I grew up in Lincoln, which is a lot further south, further east. But, you know, by this time, boy, it was, you know, perfect spring, heading to summer, no worries. Up here in north central Nebraska, our last possible frost date is May 31st.
Oh, dear.
So, yeah, we still got 2.5 weeks or so where we could have a freeze. And we have actually seen it snow here. Not that it lasts or builds up, but we've actually seen it snow here in late May and even early June.
Oh, by then our humidity has set in. Air conditioners are running most of the time.
Sure.
And it's beach weather. Here we all go.
Well,
we go
know.
To the beach when the tourists leave.
I don't blame you. Don't blame you one bit. You know, I mean, that's just kind of the way it works out. No, it's. Sure. I'll tell you, right now it's gorgeous here. Trees are all getting their leaves. Certain bushes, certain things are actually blooming already. Nothing in my yard is, but I've got buds.
That's something.
Yeah, my Japanese lilac's full of buds. So,
well, the mosquitoes have returned here, and if there's a mosquito within 100 yards, 100 miles even, it'll find me.
You're kind of a landing zone, huh?
I'm a landing zone for mosquitoes. I don't know why.
Yeah. We get those in the summer. I don't care for them, but, you know, not a whole lot you can do about it either. So,
nope.
Just kind of is what it is.
Us.
Yes, they do. Folks, we got a lot to talk about tonight. Big show for you tonight. We've got a couple of great segments coming up. Diane, you're covering the Scarlet V times 3 equals U.S. entry.
Yeah, it's kind of an easy mathematical formula to figure out.
Yeah, you're going to tell us all about that coming up here, in about 25 minutes or so. And then later in the show, I've got Tin Lizzie, The Big Lie, and Bigger Liars.
Well, you can't get much bigger than her.
Well, and it's very timely,
yes.
Because it's about Liz Cheney, and the big vote on her being the chair of the GOP convention comes up tomorrow. So
she needs to go. She should just put her, you know, the D next to her name and be done with it.
I think they're going to vote her out.
I think they're going to vote her out of the chairman's
seat. I absolutely think they're going to vote her out. I'd be shocked if they didn't.
We'll find out. We'll find out tomorrow. But between now and then, I'll give you my impression of Liz Cheney, Tin Lizzy, as I call her.
It ain't pretty, folks.
No, it's not. But let's start with some quick hitters. And I suppose one of the most, one of the most important things going on internationally right now is the situation in Israel with the Palestinians firing just rockets nonstop into Gaza, towards Jerusalem, at Tel Aviv. I mean, it's turned into a real mess over there right now.
Well, you know, folks, you knew this was going to happen with Biden and Harris taking over. And now you got Ilhan Omar opening her big, dirty, filthy, anti-Semitic mouth. She should be drummed out of Congress.
Oh, I agree.
Totally, because she is making a mockery out of America's staunchest ally. But you've got them all, you know, butting in. But thankfully, Bibi, from what we understand, has told Biden to butt out.
Yeah, that's the word I got from Israel earlier today, was that Biden is out as far as Bibi's concerned. He says, you know, stay out of this. This is none of your affair. Don't need to hear from you. And in the meantime, President Trump has stepped up to defend Bibi and stand with Israel. No surprise.
Yes. Absolutely.
But I'll tell you something that did surprise me earlier this afternoon. I want to say it's probably about 3 hours ago now, maybe three and a half. I open up YouTube just to see, you know, what's going on. And there's lives, there were, not right now, because I checked just before we went on the air, but earlier this afternoon, there was live streaming coming from Israel, from the Tel Aviv area, showing not only the incoming, but the outgoing. And the outgoing is basically the Iron Dome.
Right, and it had a minor malfunction this afternoon. But the bigger news is that the mainstream media, the anti-Israel mainstream media, is making a brouhaha over the fact that Israel assassinated senior Islamic Jihad Hamas operatives. Yay, Israel. They're making a big deal over the fact that 30 Gazans, including 10 children, have been reportedly be killed. You know what? Who cares? Those children are terrorists in the making. Plus, they're used as human shields. What they're not saying is all the direct hits to Israeli homes, and that dozens of Israelis were, you know, were injured, including now reports of at least three Israelis, I believe, killed in their attacks. And the attacks are nonstop. They just keep going on and on and on.
Let me give our listeners a bit of a clue as to what nonstop means. Okay? In the last 24 hours, Hamas has fired 700 rockets at Israel in the last 24 hours.
Right. And Israel, the Israeli army, struck back at some 140 targets in the Gazan Strip. And, you know, tough.
That's the way I look at it.
What Israel should do, you know, just go in and clean out Gaza already.
They should.
Who cares what the UN thinks? Who cares what Biden thinks? Who gives a damn what Ilhan Omar thinks? They really just need to go in, clean them out, and resecure their country.
I'm surprised they haven't. You know, Israel shows more restraint than any country I can imagine, or than any country really should, given the circumstance.
Right, right. You know, all they can do at this point is the Israeli military is boosting its presence along the border. The Israeli authorities have called on all residents to remain home and near bomb shelters until further notice. And clashes between police and protesters keep spreading throughout Arab cities inside Israel. That's very dangerous.
It is. It is. They, you know, Bibi's got his hands full over there right now, but I've got a lot of confidence in the Israeli military. So.
Oh, I absolutely do. I mean, there were certain parts of their military that our military can learn from.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. So we'll keep an eye on that, folks. I mean, I expect, I think Diane does too, I expect the violence to continue and spread in Israel until Israel has a snootful. And then I expect things to get really gnarly for the Palestinians. So.
Oh, yeah, I think, you know, the Palestinians are definitely on a losing end here. It's just a matter of time before, you know, Bibi goes in and clears them out.
Absolutely. So I know, Diane, this is going to come as a shock to you. It certainly did to me, and I'm sure most of our listeners will just be flabbergasted by this. But the CDC came out today. And they now say that the risk of catching COVID-19 if you're outdoors has been greatly exaggerated.
Gee, I know of two people who not only spoke about that, but wrote about that.
A year ago.
Months and months and months ago.
A year ago. We wrote about that and talked about that a year ago. Outdoors? Yep. You know, come on. And you know, the CDC, oh, well, you know, gee, it was greatly exaggerated. Duh. Of course
the
it was
CDC
greatly exaggerated.
In this year, I don't think has put out one truthful thing about COVID.
You notice they come out one. You notice they come out with this, oh, it was greatly exaggerated, after pretty much everybody has said, you know, well, look, the CDC is full of crap. We're going outdoors. We don't care anymore.
Right.
You know, they ran that dog and pony show as long as they could. In fact, they were beating the dead horse for the last several months.
Well, not only that, I had put up on something on Facebook just a few hours ago, and it's kind of taken off on a life of its own. And what I put up is the Democrats now came out with a call for all Americans to wear masks every flu and cold season.
Oh, for God's sake.
And I put up one, well, maybe it's time for we Americans to start burning masks from coast to coast.
You know what? I like the idea.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, enough. Folks, this isn't going to stop it. There are treatments that are available that they haven't told us about. And that's a little teaser for my next Tuesday article. But there apparently is a drug that stops COVID dead in its tracks. And it's not being used widely in this country, just very, very sporadically.
Well, and Diane's going to let you folks know all about that. A week from tonight.
Yeah, it's almost like the Democrats want to keep this, you know, scaredemic going.
Gee, you think?
You think? Yeah, I think.
You think? Man, yes. I'll tell you. You know, I mean, I honestly don't know who's worse. And maybe you'll reveal it next Tuesday. If you want to talk about it now, you certainly can. Who's worse, the CDC or that little pipsqueak Fauci?
Well, actually, Fauci is ground zero of every lie, every deceitful fact, quote unquote, that has come out since day one. And he started with, oh, you don't need masks, telling that to President Trump when it first came here. And then suddenly turning on Trump, oh, you know, pooh-poohed my masks, and now it's spreading, and this and that. He is the biggest danger to us getting rid of COVID.
I agree. I agree. And I don't know that the CDC is very far behind because...
No, they're not. They're
you know, not. That... Folks, the CDC is not a medical organization. You got to get that out of your mind. That's a political organization.
Right.
Okay,
right.
So, you know, it's governmental political organization. It's not, you know, don't confuse the CDC with the AMA.
Oh, no, it's not the AMA, you know, that's for sure.
That's what
I'm CDC, to say. Center for Disease Control. Yeah, it's supposed to have a big medical aspect to it, but let's be honest here. In this day and age of Uncle Joe, it's just another Democrat political hack arm.
That's it. That's all it is. Mm-hmm. That's all it is. From the CDC and COVID being greatly exaggerated outdoors, we go to the situation at the gas pumps. Over on the East Coast, North Carolina, but, you know, I'm getting reports now all the way down in Mississippi, all the way up and down the East Coast. Gas shortages because of that cyber attack on the oil line.
Right. That attack temporarily shut down one of the biggest pipelines in the United States, the one that services the East Coast. And North Carolina, I should say, Governor Roy Cooper, he's actually declared of a state of emergency in North Carolina.
Well, and down in Mississippi right now, you're not allowed to buy more than $25 worth of gas at a time. And folks, if you live in certain parts of this country, gas is $4 a gallon. And, you know, $25 isn't going to put very much gas in your car. For $25 in some parts of this country, you're not actually putting gas in your car. You're trying to wean your car off of gas.
Yeah, that's more like it. Here in South Florida, last week we paid over $4 a gallon for Hytest. And don't say, you know, you can use regular. No, some cars cannot use regular. They must be run on Hytest. In other words, it means it costs well over $70, $75 to fill your tank.
Now,
that's robbery.
People are thinking, you know, I go to the gas station, I put gas in my car, and it's costing me a lot more. Well, guess what? Diesel is costing a lot more, too, which means everything you buy at the grocery store, the price is going to go up dramatically because the cost of getting it from point A to point B is going through the roof.
Yes, and you know one of the first things that has jumped up in price already? Toilet paper.
Naturally.
Naturally, you know, they got to go back to the beginning,
Oh my God.
And it's going to get worse. Fresh produce is going up. Meats are going up. Everything is going up. Now they don't just have COVID to blame for that. They have the gas shortage, the cyber attack caused gas shortage to blame as well.
Now, they're hoping to have that pipeline back up and running by the first part of next week. It's anybody's guess whether they'll hit that mark. But in the meantime, we're now buying oil and gas from Europe.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So let me put this whole thing in perspective, because we know that there are liberals out there listening to this show. And if they're not listening live, they'll tune into the Podbean podcast tomorrow. So liberals, I want you to understand something here. Okay, there's gas rationing going on up and down the East Coast.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we've got gas stations in certain places along the East Coast that are out of gas. They're no longer rationing it. They just don't have it. We're bringing in fuel from Europe at an extremely high cost. Gas prices are going through the roof right now. Here's your perspective, liberals. In just barely over 100 days, this country has gone from energy independence to gas line shortages and rationing.
Yes. Yes. And that's all because of voter fraud that the courts poo-pooed.
Yeah. I mean, you know, think of that. In one, we were energy independent.
Yes.
When Trump left the Oval Office, 100 days later, we're in trouble.
Yeah. All because of Uncle Joe and Kamala and the assorted crew. Their plan is to destroy America and rebuild her as a socialist nation. And unless we do something to stop it, folks, we're headed in that direction.
Well, we are.
Don't count on us winning in 2022 if these, you know, people still keep protesting against voter ID and other assorted things.
Now, I talked about the cost of commodities, you know, when you go to the grocery store, because it costs a lot more to fill up a semi, okay? But it's not just the groceries going from point A to point B. It's everything in this country that gets shipped by truck or even now by rail,
okay? Yes.
But I've got a friend that drives a truck, drives an 18-wheeler, and since Biden took office, it used to cost him $600 to fill up the tanks on his truck. It now costs him about $950 to $975.
Okay? Wow.
So it doesn't matter what you're moving. It could be a truckload of cornflakes. It could be a truckload of socks. It could be a truckload of cattle or hogs. It could be hay that is going from point A to point B to feed cattle. Doesn't matter what it is. The cost of everything is now going to skyrocket. Inflation because of this pipeline. You know how pipelines are. You know how the oil companies are, folks. They could have this thing back up and running on Monday. But then, you know what happens? Summer sets in. The price of gas always goes up.
Season.
Yep. Prices will go up, up, up. And then next fall, we're all going to be thinking how great it is when we only have to pay $4 a gallon.
No, I won't be happy. And I'm sure other, you know, people who drive cars that can only take high test won't be happy.
Well, I'm not talking just about high test. I'm talking about any gas. You know, it's going to get ridiculous, folks, and you know it.
Yes, even regular is going to go probably over $3 a gallon.
Easily. It's over $3 a gallon, or right at $3 a gallon in most places now.
Yeah, you know, high test will be well over $5.
Yeah, oh, it's going to be brutal. Buckle
up. Thank you, Joe.
Yep, thanks a lot, Joe. Ass. Finally, in the quick hitters, I sent this one
this
to Diane.
This is sickening, folks.
And she said, this is disgusting. And I'm like, yep, it is. Colorado, the fine state of Colorado, the Mile High State, which used to refer to the mountains, now refers to the marijuana. The Mile High State is now making it legal to compost humans.
Yeah, you can compost human remains. You can't grow food in them, but you can compost them. But you can't mix different people together.
This is the weirdest part of it. Okay, yeah, they have
ludicrous
rules.
What if the person care if they're compost?
Well, you can mix them together if you have, I guess, a legal document where the two people that you intend to mix together said it's okay.
Oh, God.
Okay. But like Diane said, you can't grow food in it. All right? But
I mean, this is absolutely ridiculous.
Now, here's the way I understand this. Diane,
this is Soylent Green.
Well, it's fertilizer for Soylent Green.
Yeah.
Here's the way I understand it, and Diane, correct me if you think I'm wrong on this, but in Colorado, your dear, sweet, lovable, late Aunt Edna can actually be pushing up daisies now.
Yes.
Okay, you can compost Aunt Edna in your flower garden, if you so choose. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, given the fact that Colorado is what it is, okay, and the fact that you can't grow food in human compost, that's illegal.
Right.
You could actually fertilize your marijuana patch. You could smoke what's left of Aunt Edna, but you can't eat the brownies.
Oh, dear.
Am I getting this about right?
You're getting it about right. I wish you'd get it wrong, but you are getting it about right.
I mean, Colorado, they're right next door to Nebraska, you know? And we're like, you know, keep your silliness over there on your side of that border. Don't you know, let it leak across over here. But yeah, if you want to compost human remains in a few weeks in Colorado, that's going to be perfectly legal. You can just do that.
Now, do they mean human remains? You can take a body, or is it folks that have been cremated? Can you imagine chopping up a full-size body for compost?
Well, you can't really compost ashes, so I'm thinking it's the body.
That's just mind-boggling. Anyone that would chop up a human body for compost, they really need a checkup from the neck up.
This is Colorado we're talking about here.
Right. Yeah. But yeah, that's true. You know, the Mile High State with emphasis on the word high.
I'll tell you, there are some really nice places in Colorado where people are pretty normal. But I'm telling you, there are places, there are towns, there are cities in Colorado that are just plain bizarre. All right.
Yeah.
Boulder is one of those towns. There's a small town called Ray, W-R-A-Y, Ray, Colorado. It's like a throwback to Hippieville.
Really?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I mean, it's anything goes in Ray. Okay. Huh. Now, you get down, you know, into the kind of the southwest part of the state of Colorado. There's some gorgeous areas down there, fine people that live down there. But boy, you get up in that northern part of Colorado and it's Weirdsville. Okay. But I don't even want to know how you go about composting a body.
You put it in a chopper. I don't know.
They say there are special bins for it. Ew.
That's just gross.
I know. So now you got to separate your glass, your plastic, your paper, and your relatives.
And your people.
Welcome to Colorado.
Oh, dear, I don't think so.
Folks, we got a couple of great segments coming up for you. Diane's got an op-ed out. It's on her blog right now, thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com, title of which is The Scarlet V Times 3 Equals U.S. Entry. We're going to be getting into that here in just a couple of minutes. And then, in the final segment of the show tonight, I'm talking about Liz Cheney, Tin Lizzy, The Big Lie, and Bigger Liars.
Yes.
So we got all that to look forward to. Folks, stay with us. More Right Side Patriots after this.
Hi, guys. Diane Sorey from The Patriot Factor on thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com, where I found a home base 7 years ago after becoming one of Facebook's longtime Facebook felons, or so I've been told by the Facebook gods. On my blog, you will find not only my articles, but our Right Side Patriots investigative reports, as well as stories and links to and from well-known writers and bloggers, plus what I call almost daily memes, my snarky take on news of the day. And for more great takes on the issues of the day, check out the National Patriot at thenationalpatriot.com, where you can read Craig's insight into all the current news happenings. And join us both on Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. EST at rspradio1.com.
You're listening to Right Side Patriots Radio, the best in conservative commentary, news, and talk, where we do away with the politically correct nonsense and give you the politically direct truth. This is the home of Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern with Craig Andreessen and Diane Sori. We're working to make this country great again from the right and leaving puddles of melted snowflakes on the left. Thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots, your best bet on the internet.
You're listening to RSPRadio1.com.
Welcome back to Right Side Patriots on RSPRadio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot, Diane Sori at the Patriot Factor. Tuesday night edition of the show. Welcome to it. If you miss any part of it, all you got to do is go to RSPRadio1. That's the number 1.com tomorrow morning. The podcast will be there thanks to Podbean. They host our podcast, and you, yes, you folks, you could become one of the pod people.
I like that. Kind of goes along with the compost people, huh?
Okay, well, let's hope not. right out of the funeral and into the wood chipper.
Yes.
Now, there you go. Okay, so Diane, you have put together an op-ed, and this is kind of a mathematical formula, if you will. The Scarlet V times 3 equals U.S. entry. What in the world are you talking about?
Well, let me start by saying I'm mad, angry, and seething, all rolled into one. For with my being part of the Republican conservative movement, I have been bearing witness to my beloved America being destroyed by the collective Democrat Party enemies within. And they're doing so one policy at a time. And it started on day one of the Biden-Harris administration with the Scarlet V, as in future votes, being the driving force. And with that said, let me begin by saying that as we all knew he would, Joe Biden, on said day one, did indeed change via executive order the border policies President Donald Trump had put into place. Successful policies that had cut the number of illegals entering our country to the lowest numbers in decades. And Biden did so to such a degree that, in my opinion, border enforcement has basically become an all-out free-for-all, much to the chagrin of those legal immigrants waiting patiently, some for years, to not only enter our country, but to become productive members of our American society. Productive members as opposed to those coming solely for the promised free stuff. Free stuff. Conservative America's curse. For Joe Biden knows well that the more folks he lets into our country, the more votes Democrats will garner, votes happily secured at the expense of we middle-class taxpayers who will, of course, be facing a tax increase to pay for all that said free stuff. But does Biden care about that? No, he does not. For caring about the middle class is not now, nor has it ever been part of the Democrats' agenda. And when it comes specifically to actual border security, or now the obvious lack thereof, the Democrats' agenda becomes quite simply an agenda of unabashed idiocy, hiding behind a total lack of transparency, where not only is the true cause of increasing illegal numbers being toned down, but outright ignored. And on the rare occasion when some reason for the now called surge or as Biden likes to say, the non-crisis is given, it's always either Trump's fault or, as per Kamala Harris's recent words of blame, quote, food insecurity, hurricanes, or COVID-19. And if to add insult to such a nonsensical injury, Harris tacked on, quote, corruption, violence, and poverty, the lack of economic opportunity, the lack of climate adaptation and climate resilience, and the lack of good governance. Good little drama queen that she is. After all, it was only a matter of time before the lie known as climate change, as in the weather, was blamed for certain folks suddenly and opportunistically needing their Biden-promised share of free stuff, coupled, hopefully, with a government lifetime welfare ride, which has led to the resurgence of folks beating down our southern border doors. And beating our doors, these anything but suffering folks have done, as way too many cross into our country, not only wearing Biden t-shirts, but with iPhones in hand, computers stuffed into their backpacks, $200 Nike sneakers on their feet, women carrying Prada, Gucci, and Coach purses, and most folks looking quite well fed. And dare we forget the drug dealers looking to make mucho dinero off the habit of the addicted, plus other criminal sorts now left to roam free and turn America's streets red with the blood of their next innocent victim. Simply, the current southern border fiasco is and will remain a man-made mess, a Joe Biden simmering cauldron of a mess, with Kamala Harris happily stirring the scarlet V-filled pot. And that pot continues to be fed with now an additional $310 million in U.S. taxpayer dollars going to Central America as part of a $4 billion regional strategy the Biden administration recently signed onto, where he pledged to, quote, address factors driving migration from Central America, yet he never really addressed what those factors are. However, no matter any words to the contrary, migration, it is not. Invasion, it is. And the fact is that these folks would be better served not coming here to be both an economic and a societal drain on our country, but staying in their home countries and working together to oust their own corrupted powers that be from office, ousted either via the ballot box or with force if need be. And Craig, I'm now beyond angry, on the way to seething for sure.
Well, you've pretty much told us what the border is and what it's not. The fact that climate change plays a part in it, no great surprise. I mean, it's the most ridiculous.
Weather?
Yeah, the weather. You know, most ridiculous thing in the world. But the problems that we're facing as a country continue to get worse. And it's not just at the border, is it?
No. Because next, there's Biden's job-killing, also day one executive order that canceled Donald Trump's approved permit for the Keystone XL oil and gas pipeline, the pipeline that would have moved 830,000 barrels of crude oil a day from Alberta, Canada's tar oil sands to refineries to be processed here in the U.S. U.S. processing that would have replaced the current processing from Latin American countries, thus creating thousands of well-paying jobs for American workers. And this is the very pipeline that would not only create additional adjunct jobs and industries as well, but would also have helped rid us of any remaining dependency on any form of foreign oil. But then again, why wouldn't Biden cancel what's good for our country, as what he did follows in lockstep with Obama's blocking of the very same pipeline because, quote, the pipeline would have too heavily favored Canada while producing additional greenhouse gas emissions, end quote, or so Obama said and erroneously claimed. But the words and the truths not spoken that are way more important than either the musings of Obama or the actions of Joe Biden. For missing from the discourse is the fact that Democrats dare not cut off Latin American oil processing, or they, in turn, will cut off the Democrats' southern border vote garnering operation. A simple case of tit for tat, with our country willingly being sold out by two presidents, all while certain Latin American countries see their government officials prosper both monetarily and via their now being able to rid said countries of unwanted, economy-draining human baggage. Human baggage the Democrats willingly take into our country, as these folks have the much coveted Scarlet V deeply imprinted on their foreheads. And Craig, am I mad about this? Let's just say my anger is now red hot.
Okay, so that's one, two, and now you said there's three, right?
Yes.
So let me just take a wild shot and say it's got something to do with the Allah Akbarians.
Just a wee bit. Okay. And lastly, at least for now in this rant anyway, Biden again, as expected, reversed President Trump's travel ban on certain countries with majority Muslim populations for the same reason he needs their Scarlet V. And while saying with a straight face that, quote, the United States was built on a foundation of religious freedom and tolerance, end quote, omitted from Biden's anything but constitutional discourse was the fact that a majority of those from majority Muslim countries and those from certain African countries as well want to come here not just for the free stuff in exchange for their votes, but to turn our country into the very cesspools they left behind. The word of the invasion, once again, comes to mind. And know that Muslim neighborhoods have some of the highest crime rates in our country, and that more and more of those neighborhoods are now being allowed by our liberal courts to become Sharia no-go zones, no police or non-Muslims allowed. And dare we not forget the number of Muslims now in Congress, Muslims like Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib, who hate this country and all she stands for. Yet their numbers in both the House of Representatives and in state legislatures do continue to grow with each and every election. And this does not even include the terrorist aspect of this said population. But no matter, for these folks will vote Democrat most every time. The Scarlet V is indeed a powerful incentive that allows the Democrats to ignore this and other sad truths. And to say I'm now seething puts it mildly at best. But the bottom line is this. We Republicans and conservatives know well, with the Constitution's own words to back us up, that the United States of America was never intended to be the world's dumping ground, no matter the ever so poetically pretty words engraved on the Statue of Liberty's plaque. Yet sadly, under current Democrat Party rule, that seems to be exactly what we are becoming. And to that I say, the Scarlet V and the Democrats be damned.
You know, it's interesting, and I suppose other people notice this. I know you do. I know I do. But the Allahu Akbarians, when they come over here and set up their Sharia no-go zones, mm-hmm. you know, like you said, no police, no non-Muslims, right? They always do that in deep blue cities because they know there they can get away with it.
Yes. But you know what bothers me even more? And people, I don't know of anyone that has put this 2 and 2 together. Most of our oil processing, except for that done in this country, is done in Latin America. Where are these invaders coming from mostly? Latin America.
There you go.
If we cut off their processing, they will keep their people home. The invasion won't come here, which most people think is a good thing, which it is in a way, but the Democrats cannot afford that because if they don't have those illegals coming here, they don't get their votes.
And that is the Scarlet V.
Is the crux of the invasion.
That's it. That's it in a nutshell. You know, that is the Scarlet V. You know, they're looking for votes for nothing.
Right.
You know?
And for people who don't know, the Scarlet V is an analogy of the Scarlet Letter. Remember the A? It's a famous novel. And I just took it, made a little mathematical calculation out of it, and realized with a ton of bricks that most of the invasion on the southern border has to do with the processing of oil in Latin America, and in return, they send us their human baggage and get their votes.
Well, and you mentioned it earlier in the op-ed, you know, the fact that we're sending money by the billions down there.
Mm-hmm. Down there for the processing. Absolutely.
Well, we're sending them bribes. Okay, let's be perfectly clear about this. Yeah, it's masquerading as processing the oil, right?
Mm-hmm.
But we're also paying them, literally, for shipping the people they don't want up here.
Right, and then we taxpayers have to foot the bill for them while the Democrats get their vote, because nobody will bite the hand that feeds, clothes, and takes care of them. And it's a win-win situation for the Democrats. They get to screw America out of jobs, oil processing jobs and such. And they're happy as clams while the American people are suffering.
Why wouldn't they? Why wouldn't they be? You know, I mean, you get, you know, everything you want for nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, and you mentioned it, and I don't want to brush by it. You mentioned those who stood in line, came into this country the proper way, legally, you know, whether right. they had their green card, whether they had their work visa, or whether they came here and immigrated here and became U.S. citizens. What a slap in the face to all those good people.
Absolutely a slap in the face. I mean, those people, some of them have been waiting years and years to come in here. And these are people who have something to offer this country. People who have skilled labor, people who are professionals, they are kept waiting to let migrants in, criminals in, drug dealers in. I mean, not everybody coming across the border is that. Don't get me wrong. There are some people, you know, who legitimately are running for their lives because they oppose the governments that they're coming from. But they're far and few between.
Yeah, that's
and I
true.
Have no sympathy for the children, okay, because those children are really being used by their parents
as
a way to get entry into the United States.
Yeah.
They're just like the flag wavers leading the way.
They're tools is what they are.
They're manipulated.
Yeah, anybody with an ounce of common sense and a working brain cell can figure that out. What I want to know is, where do all these people get the Biden T-shirts? Where's that coming from? I'd love
Democrats
somebody.
Are probably sending them down there.
Well, you got to wonder. But, you know, these are people that supposedly have put their lives at risk. You know, these are people that have marched, walked, crawled, if they had to, all the way from Venezuela, if necessary.
Yes.
1,400, 1,500, 1,600 miles to reach the border. And when they get there, their T-shirts are bright white and clean, not a ounce of dust on them.
Well, they probably get them in Mexico. They're probably handed out as they reach Mexico. But the thing that gets me is, who's paying for their cell phone service? They're all coming here with cell phones and computers and, you know, those sort of equipment. Who's paying for that? Where are they getting their service from along these, you know, journeys?
Where are they plugging them in to charge them? Yeah, where are they plugging? Where are they plugging the damn things in to charge them up?
Exactly.
You know, I mean, come on. You know, you don't have to be a rocket scientist, folks. You can figure this out. You know, they get down there to the border, okay, and there's liberals on the other side of the border handing out free T-shirts, free cell phones, you know, the whole nine yards. All of this has got to be paid for by somebody. Diane, I think you're right. Soros, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, these people, and I guarantee you, with along with the cell phone, along with the T-shirts, along with good hot meals and whatever, they also have their pre-filled out registration cards to become Democrats in this country.
Right. And many of them driver's licenses. But you know who I actually do feel sorry for is the Venezuelans that are coming. Venezuela was the Venice of South America.
Yeah.
The Venezuelans were very highly educated. They were skilled people. There were some extremely wealthy Venezuelans. The Venezuelans lost everything with that military coup.
I agree.
And the ones that fought back against it were killed. They are legitimate political refugees in fear of their lives, and they have things to offer this country. Most Venezuelans are highly educated people.
I tend to agree with you, but I'll tell you what. I still think there's a lot of people coming out of Venezuela that are just coming here for the free stuff, that are just coming here because it's the thing to do. You know, if you go back far enough, and I'm not talking about 100 years, okay? But you go back to when the military coup in Venezuela began. Mm-hmm. Those people should have taken their stand right then.
Well, I'm not going to go back 200 years because
you don't have to.
That's the past.
You don't have to.
But what Maduro has done in Venezuela is he has destroyed a country, a very prosperous country. Remember, Venezuelan oil, they're big oil players. He's taken over the oil industries. He's killed peoples en masse, you know, during protests, whatever.
Right.
To me, the Venezuelans, what a lot of people don't understand is most of them have European ancestry.
Right.
They're a different people. They're not coming here with their hands out. They're coming here to get back a life that was taken from them. At least this is just my personal opinion. Does it diminish the legitimate people coming from Central America? No. But you know what? When those Central Americans come here wearing Biden T-shirts, the Venezuelans don't do that. When they come here wearing those T-shirts, it gets me angry.
Oh, absolutely.
Remember, Trump
backed
the underground in Venezuela. The Venezuelans had great, as a people, not the government, had great respect for President Trump. They don't come here wearing the Biden shirts. And to me, that sets them apart right there.
Too. Well, it does for the most part. But I'll tell you, I maybe I'm a little bit more jaded. You know, I look at this mess and I say, you know, at this point, because of what Biden's done, it's nearly impossible to vet any of them.
True.
Okay.
That's very true.
And if you can't vet them, don't let them in. You know, if you can't vet them, don't let them.
There's an easy way. Most Venezuelans speak English as well.
Well, there's a lot of people down there that speak some form of English. I'm not sure it's all understandable. But
theirs is understandable,
you know, but you,
from what I gather.
I understand, but I'm telling you, until there's a way to vet every single person that shows up at the border, if you can't vet them, don't let them.
No, just send them back. Send the children back. send them back. We need the wall to be completed. We need it 50 feet high if need be. It should be impenetrable. And you know what? I think we need to take a little bit of Israeli ingenuity and put gun turrets every X number of miles.
I don't have any problem with that. I don't have any problem with digging a moat and filling it full of alligators. Mm-hmm. You know, whatever it's going to take to clean the situation up. Now, are Diane and I, either one of us, saying that, you know, our immigration system doesn't need some work? No, it needs work. Okay, mm-hmm. There is no reason why it should take 10, 15, or sometimes even 20 years for good people who want to be U.S. citizens to get here.
They need to come, you know, first before one illegal sets foot over this border, and they shouldn't set any feet over this border, but before even one comes here, legal immigrants need to be let in first.
No argument from me, but I think we can streamline the system. I think we can, you know, tweak the system, streamline it, fix it, whatever terminology anybody wants to use, to make it work and make it work properly, okay? Mm-hmm. So that the people who deserve to be here can get here. They don't have to wait a decade, maybe two decades, to make that happen. But
right.
Until then, nobody comes in, you know, but this is the liberal thing. See, if we fix the system, they can't game the system. That's why they don't want the system fixed. They want the mess that they've got at the border right now.
Right.
That's what it comes down to. Folks, the title of Diane's op-ed, The Scarlet V Times 3 Equals U.S. Entry. Couple of great ways you can find it. Very easy. Go to Diane's blog, thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com, or go to rspradio1.com. It's right there on either place. You can grab the link. You can share it everywhere and hang on to it, because this situation isn't going to clear up anytime soon. And
no, it's going to get worse.
I'm saying a year from now, a year and a half from now, you're going to want to go back and reread this, and you're going to say, God, she got it right. You know? I mean, this is yet another one of those articles. Yeah, it's timely because of what's going on down there right now, but it's also foreshadowing what's to come.
Yes, it is.
You know? So grab that link.
Part of the Democrats' plan to make us a brown nation.
Well, yeah. You know, and they don't care as long as they get the votes. What the hell?
Right.
You know, they don't care. I mean, it's not even about color, really. It's about who's going to vote for them. They don't give a shit. Because
right.
Anybody that comes across.
Can stay in power and collect exorbitant salaries for destroying a country.
Bingo. Bingo. Mm-hmm. That's precisely what the situation is, you know.
Yes.
And like you said, we've got people coming into this country, whether they're coming up from the South or whether they're coming from, you know, primarily Muslim countries, their goal is to turn our country into the crap hole they left.
Exactly.
You know, none of it's good for this country. None of it's good for our citizens. Not one damn benefit.
And remember, folks, Biden is a front man. Kamala Harris will take over for him, and Obama will be happily pulling her strings.
Every single day. Grab that link, folks. Get Diane's op-ed. Get it out there. Share it everywhere you can. ThePatriotFactor.blogspot.com or from RSPRadio1.com. You can get to that link either way. Get it out there and get it shared. We got to take a top of the hour break, but when we come back, one more segment talking about Liz Cheney, the vote that will probably kick her out of the chairmanship of the GOP convention is set to take place tomorrow. That makes this next segment very, very timely. The title of the commentary, Tin Lizzie, The Big Lie, and Bigger Liars. We'll be back with more Right Side Patriots after this.
You're listening to Right Side Patriots Radio, the best in conservative commentary, news, and talk, where we do away with the politically correct nonsense and give you the politically direct truth. This is the home of Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern with Craig Andreessen and Diane Sorey. We're working to make this country great again from the right and leaving puddles of melted snowflakes on the left. Thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots, your best bet on the internet.
You're listening to RSPRadio1.com.
Hi guys, Diane Sorey from The Patriot Factor on thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com, where I found a home base 7 years ago after becoming one of Facebook's longtime Facebook felons, or so I've been told by the Facebook gods. On my blog, you will find not only my articles, but our Right Side Patriots investigative reports, as well as stories and links to and from well-known writers and bloggers, plus what I call almost daily memes, my snarky take on news of the day. And for more great takes on the issues of the day, check out the National Patriot at thenationalpatriot.com, where you can read Craig's insight into all the current news happenings. And join us both on Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. EST at rspradio1.com.
Welcome back to Right Side Patriots on rspradio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot, Diane Sorey at the Patriot Factor. Oh, I'll tell you what, I'm going to be glad when this show is over because my voice is going tonight.
Ah, okay.
I think it's because things are starting to blossom here in north central Nebraska. There's a lot of that kind of stuff, and it's been windy the last couple of days, so there's a lot of dust kind of blowing around, and it's starting to get to me a little bit.
But it happens.
I promise I will struggle through this final segment because I think what you're about to hear, folks, is important considering the vote that's going to be coming up from Republicans tomorrow.
Yeah, it's time we get rid of the rhinos.
Tin Lizzie, the big lie and bigger liars. You know, Liz Cheney, the chair of the GOP conference, needs to pull her head out of where it's been and bury her hatchet in its place. Either way, sitting down has got to be rather uncomfortable for Tin Lizzie. Last week, Tin Lizzie wrote, and I quote, "We Republicans need to stand for genuinely conservative principles and steer away from the dangerous and anti-democratic Trump cult of personality," unquote. She went on to write that the Republican Party is a, and again I quote, "turning point." And she said they must decide, quote, "whether we will join Trump's crusade to delegitimize and undo the legal outcome of the 2020 election with all the consequences that might have," unquote. Also last week, Trump took to his new communications platform called From the Desk of Donald J. Trump and wrote that, quote, "the fraudulent presidential election of 2020 will be, from this day forth, known as the big lie." One of these two is correct. The other one is Liz Cheney. Tin Lizzie was the nickname of the Model T Ford, which in its day was a cheap, mass-produced automobile that blended into the pack and was rather unimpressive. Tin Lizzie Cheney fits that profile in politics as being part of an antiquated establishment member of the party who is as unimpressive as the old jalopy. Now, Diane, to further illustrate my point, Tin Lizzie went on to write last week, quote, "Trump has never expressed remorse or regret for the attack of January 6th, and now suggests that our elections and our legal and constitutional system cannot be trusted to do the will of the people, unquote.
Oh, isn't that nice? However, Craig, really, when you think about it, what does Trump have to be remorseful or have regrets for? He didn't do anything.
Well, that's just it. That's the question. He never expressed remorse or regret for what exactly? For asking people on January 6th to be peaceful? For telling people to go home? Trump had nothing whatsoever to do with any of what happened on January 6th, but Tin Lizzie has decided to take up the mainstream media fabrication that Trump incited an insurrection of some sort. A couple of weeks ago, blathering Biden called January 6th, and a quote, the worst attack on democracy since the Civil War, unquote. Pearl Harbor? 9/11? Apparently, those pale in comparison to some idiot wearing buckskin pants, no shirt, and a furry hat with bison horns on it. It's nice to know that Tin Lizzie Cheney, the GOP conference chair, is aiding and abetting the liberal Marxist agenda and has become a parrot for the mainstream media. It's also pretty obvious that Tin Lizzie doesn't feel that Trump or those who voted for him and still think he's the right man for the job have any right to freely express their opinions, which puts her in league with the purveyors of mass censorship, social media. Look, this isn't 1915. This is 1921. And yet Cheney is plodding through politics like an old rusty Tin Lizzie, while the wagon she's hitched herself to, the party of liberal Marxists, is being pulled along by a Melkus RS-1000. Now that, in case you didn't know, is a car made in East Germany before Reagan told Mr. Gorbachev to tear down that wall, and it's nicknamed the Communist Ferrari. What the GOP needs is a conservative supercar, like the American-made Hennessy Venom F5. It's bold, brash, has horsepower to spare, and it's got a top speed that leaves all others in the dust. That's Trump. And Tin Lizzie can't take the acceleration without peeing herself. While the Tin Lizzies of the Republican establishment are destined for slow-moving parades and museums, they will always have their aficionados, and Tin Lizzie Cheney is no exception. In fact, one of her biggest fans, former Lincoln Project advisor Kurt Bardella, was a guest on MSNBC last week, Diane, and he said, and I quote, I've been thinking to myself this whole time, you know, Al-Qaeda, Osama bin Laden, the Taliban, the people who wanted to do harm to our nation and to our way of life and our democracy, they got nothing on what this Republican Party is doing, unquote.
Well, for people who don't know, maybe you need to tell them what exactly the Lincoln Project is.
Yeah, okay, the Lincoln Project, it's a bunch of establishment Republicans who established a group opposed to the re-election of Donald Trump into which Tin Lizzie would neatly fit. They were also opposed, by the way, to the election of any Republican in Congress, and they endorsed blathering Biden. The Lincoln Project crumbled early this year amid a sex scandal that involved its co-founder, John Weaver, who acknowledged having sent inappropriate sexual messages to multiple men. Sounds like a liberal Marxist to me, but anyhow, Kurt Bardella on MSNBC went on to state, quote, the idea that a member of their party, of their leadership, whose last name is Cheney, could be purged from their leadership for telling the truth about January 6th, for telling the truth about a violent insurrection that claimed the lives of, among others, a Capitol police officer, unquote. So apparently, the party of Follow the Science has no intention of following the scientific autopsy results. In the case of George Floyd, the science offered that the newest saint of street thugs actually expired from having more drugs in his system than a CVS pharmacy has on its shelves, while showing no signs of anything, including a bruise from Derek Chauvin's knee to Floyd's neck. In the case of the Capitol Police officer, whose name, by the way, is Brian Sicknick, the science showed that he died of natural causes after suffering two strokes after January 6th, just as the mainstream media still insists that Floyd died because of Chauvin's knee. Likewise, and just as falsely, the mainstream media is still running with a bogus story that Sicknick had been beaten to death with a fire extinguisher with which he was never actually hit. In fact, and I do mean fact, as reported by the Medical Examiner, outside of Sicknick, who died of natural causes resulting from suffering two strokes, of the other four who died in what liberal Marxists are calling a deadly insurrection, two died of heart attacks, and one of a drug overdose, which leaves just one more who actually died of being of perpetrated violence, and that is Ashley Babbitt, the unarmed protester who was shot and killed by a Capitol Police officer. Like George Floyd, Babbitt's death was also caught on video. But unlike Derek Chauvin, who was immediately identified, charged, and convicted of murder, the Capitol Police officer who actually killed Babbitt has not been identified and will not face any charges. Diane, one has to wonder how different things would be had Floyd been white and Babbitt had not.
Right. You know, Trump is rightful in what he's calling the 2020 election, and that was the big lie.
Ew.
And it's time that people like, you know, Liz Cheney and others realize it's not Trump that's the liars. It's their rhetoric that they're putting out now about Trump that is the lies.
Well, let's take a look at that, okay? According to the MSN fact-checking Twitter account, there were 213,799,485 registered voters in the U.S. for the 2020 election. And while it's pretty certain that not all of them were able to fog a mirror on Election Day, let's just go with that number. The MSM fact-checking Twitter account also tells us that voter turnout nationwide was somewhere between 60 and 65%, so let's go with the higher of those two numbers just for the sake of argument. That means that out of 213,799,485 registered voters, just north of 138 million of them actually voted. And from that number, Trump got 74 million votes, while blathering Biden got 81 million votes. Simple math, therefore, tells us that out of just north of 138 million registered voters, just north of 155 million votes were cast. Look, I'm no math genius, but that just doesn't seem possible. And when you add into the mix the fact that votes just kept appearing out of thin air in the middle of the night, that and that Republican poll watchers were denied access to do their jobs in so many key cities where votes were magically appearing in the middle of the night, and nearly every attempt to audit the election results had been shut down by liberal judges ever since, leads me to side with Trump's version of the election as the big lie and to view his liberal Marxist haters as the big liars. But if you're still not quite convinced, Diane, you know this well. Last Thursday, Florida's Governor Ron DeSantis signed a bill and issued a statement saying, quote, "I have what we think is the strongest election integrity measures in the country. We're making sure we're enforcing voter ID. We're also banning ballot harvesting. We're not going to let political operatives go and get satchels of votes to dump them in some drop box, unquote. DeSantis then went on to say, quote, we're also prohibiting mass mailing of ballotings. We've had absentee voting in Florida for a long time. You request the ballot, you get it, and you mail it in. But to just indiscriminately send them out is not a recipe for success, unquote. Naturally, before the ink was dry on Governor DeSantis's signature, the liberal Marxists filed suit to stop it. Honestly, I don't know what aggravates them more. Specifics like knowing exactly who's casting a vote and making sure they only get one vote per election, as in voter ID, or a more general concept of actual overall election integrity. Come to think of it, it's getting pretty hard to find the difference between the liberal Marxists and the establishment Republicans. Big lies being told by bigger liars and tin Lizzies all.
Well, all I can say is our great Governor DeSantis got it signed. Here in Florida, we've always had voter ID. You have to show your driver's license or an official voter card to even be handed the ballot. I mean, he has done such good, not just for our state, but he set a precedence now where other governors are following suit, what right. He has done, not just in relation to the election integrity bill he just signed, but also in regards to COVID.
Well, but the liberal Marxists and the mainstream media, you know, they're looking at that voter integrity bill that Ron DeSantis signed, and they say, oh my God, this is the worst thing ever. This is racist. This is this. It's that. It's horrible. It's going to suppress the vote. People won't be able to get out and vote because people can't get ID cards. Well, you know what? That's bull crap. The mainstream media knows it. Elected liberals know it too. Okay?
Right.
You can get a voter ID. You can get a card. You can get a picture ID. It's not that difficult, okay? You just got to show up somewhere and say, can I have one? And they'll take your picture and they'll give you one, damn it.
Right. And let's put it this way. If you can get a credit card, if you can get bank cards, if you can get this card, that card, and another card, you can get a voter ID card. They're not difficult to get. You can even right away and get it with, you know, proof of who you are and all that. A voter card, a legitimate voter card, is one of the easiest things to get.
Yeah, I know what you're saying, Diane, but that's not the story the mainstream media and the elected liberals and liberals at large are telling. You see, we're the racist because we want voter ID. That makes us racist, right? But it's them. But it's the liberal Marxists, right, that are literally telling the world that black people in this country are incapable of getting a photo ID. I don't know. They're too stupid to get one. They're too lazy to get one. They lack transportation to go get one. They can't read. They can't write. Well, I don't know what the problem is. But according to them, those voter ID cards are part of the white privilege system, and black people simply don't qualify for them, which is bull crap.
Well, you know what? The liberal media, with all their nonsense, they are actually helping to create racists in people who were never racists before.
It's true.
It is true.
I mean, it's true. I mean, if I'm going to believe the mainstream media and these elected liberals and these nut jobs, okay, then I have to believe that there is something having to do with skin color that prevents certain people from being able to get a simple ID card. Now, that person may have a cell phone. They may have a driver's license. They may, you know, they may have a bank account. They may have a good, steady job. Some of those people might be on Social Security. They might be on Medicare or Medicaid, right? Mm-hmm. You know, they might have a pension. Some of these people are probably working good jobs. But because of the color of their skin, you see, we're being told by liberals they can't get a voter ID. That's how ludicrous this is.
It's beyond ludicrous. It's absolutely stupid. And in a way, not in a way, in the way, they are the ones that are actually the racists.
Exactly. That's my point. You see, that's the point. And here we have the chair of the Republican convention, Liz Cheney, has been siding with these liberal nutcases.
She should just put the D next to her name because she has nothing now in common with Republicans, let alone conservatives.
She's against
a disgrace to the party. And I always wonder what her dad thinks about her.
I don't know. You know, I mean, her dad and the Bushes were pretty tight.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I don't know. I mean, I don't know. But, you know, Liz, Tin Lizzie, as I call her, you know, she's siding with the Democrats. She hates Trump. Okay, she wouldn't stand for his reelection. She doesn't like the voter ID law that's been passed down there in Florida or anywhere else, for that matter. She's siding with Biden on economic policies. Well, we can see how great the economic policies were working out. You know, she's a perfect fit for the Lincoln Project, and the Lincoln Project opposed any Republicans getting reelected. Right. I mean, for God's sakes, you know, what is wrong with this woman? Well, the vote on her chairmanship for the GOP convention comes up tomorrow. And I think she's going to get a handful of votes, but I think it's going to be overwhelmingly negative. And she calls
it Romney and Murkowski and Collins, well, you know, the assorted group of characters, but I think that's all she'll get in her favor.
I think you're right. But she calls us the Trump cult of personality.
Yeah.
Well, you know what, Tin Lizzie? You're plodding along on your way to the museum. Because like mm-hmm. I said, we don't need Tin Lizzies, and we don't need this country being run by people who are being drugged behind what used to be called the communist Ferrari. What we need is the Trump supercar, and that's the Hennessy.
Yes. And, okay. You know, I keep thinking as I'm hearing more and more musings that Trump rallies are going to start again soon. I have a feeling that he's going to pretty soon announce that he's going to run again in 2022. I mean, in 2024.
Yeah, I don't think we're too far away. I think we might be a few months away from that announcement, but I think he's going to get on it early. I do.
I think he's going to get on it very early, build such momentum that the Democrats don't have a chance. They're going to steamroll. They're going to be steamrolled, and I just hope, I hope he picks Ron DeSantis as his running mate.
Well, but I'll tell you what he's going to get on before he gets on his own campaign. I think he's going to start going out and campaigning for people running in 2022.
Oh, yeah.
To try and get the House and the Senate.
Yeah. We're only, you know, what is it, 5 votes short in the House?
Yeah.
We can pick that up easily, especially, you know, in areas where Trump is very popular. It would be very funny if we can totally flip the House and the Senate back into Republican control. But the Senate, I don't believe there's very many senators up in 22.
Yeah, I don't know how many are up. I mean, the entire House is up. They're up every two years,
of course. You know?
But I think Trump's going to be on the campaign trail probably beginning in, I'm going to guess, June or July of this year.
Yeah, this summer, absolutely. You know, and I think, I really think he's going to lead up to either announcing that he's running or that he's going to back Ron DeSantis.
One way or the other.
Would pick Kristi Noem as his running mate.
I mean, getting DeSantis, I know you're going to hate to lose him as a governor, okay? He needs to step up.
Yeah.
This country can use a guy like that.
As much as we need him in Florida, and he's the best governor we've ever had, he needs to help straighten out the country. He'll pick who he thinks should succeed him
right.
as governor. But the country needs a person like Ron DeSantis.
We need DeSantis's, we need Noem's, we need Trump's. We need those Hennessy supercars leading mm-hmm. this parade. You know, that's what the Republican Party needs. And if the establishment can't figure that out, they need to go.
The establishment needs to go anyway. They've overstayed their welcome.
Time for them to say, sayonara, get out.
Yes.
You know, and that's what it comes down to. Tin Lizzy, The Big Lie, and Bigger Liars. Now, you can find that commentary either at thenationalpatriot.com or at rspradio1.com.
Mm-hmm.
Either place you go, you can find it. Do the same thing with this you do with Diane's. Get the link and share it everywhere. Share it everywhere. And, you know, by tomorrow, we're going to know. I'm just going to predict Liz Cheney is going to get blown out of that chairman position in a big way tomorrow.
I think it's going to be such a blowout that she actually, within a short period of time, switches parties.
She'll either switch parties or she'll just get out. Get out of the Senate. You know, I mean, there's not going to be any Republicans that are going to want to work with her.
No, none.
You know, I mean, it's just one of those things. So, folks, go to Diane's blog, thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com. Go to my blog, thenationalpatriot.com, or you can find links to both those articles at rspradio1.com.
Yes.
Any way you want to do it, that's fine with us. Also, if you missed any part of tonight's show, don't worry. You can become one of the pod people. Go to rspradio1.com tomorrow morning. Click the podcast. Podbean hosts the podcast. You could be one of the pod people, and we'd love you to have that title. So,
yes.
And for those in Colorado, too bad about Uncle Melvin, but at least you can grow a nice stand of pot. And folks, if you missed that part of the show, you got to go get the podcast and listen tomorrow.
Okay.
With that, Diane, I think
it's... Greg, I think we should say nighty-night, everybody.
I think so. Folks, have a great rest of the evening. Good night, and we'll see you on Friday.
Yes.